On this week's State of the Union, we look at Hawaii, and joining me now to discuss what matters to voters in the Aloha State is Ira Roeder, professor of politics at the University of Hawaii, Manoa. I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Aloha.
Thank you very much.
Barack Obama has been on vacation in Hawaii all this week, but he has taken the opportunity to hold a couple of impromptu campaign events, hasn't he?
He's had at least one when he came off the airplane. He's really invigorated a lot of people in the islands. And there was earlier on Tuesday a fundraiser, which is a fairly private thing. But other than that, he's been golfing and taking his kids to different places that, you know, he grew up here. And so there's a lot of wonderful things to show your young children about where you grew up. And it's a social thing as well. It's not just, you know, playing around. But, you know, Hawaii is a very multiracial society. And he earlier in the week took his children to a cemetery on the windward side of the island, which was built by the Japanese. And Japanese immigrants who had settled here. And one of its major themes is this is a place where there is no discrimination. And that's, you know, the storyline that is being promoted, around here. And it is really very much part of the Aloha spirit.
Of course, part of his storyline is also that he's really from Kansas. When was the last time a presidential candidate visited your state?
Well, it depends who you count. Kucinich has been here a few times. I think we have to go candidate. I think it goes back to maybe Nixon. God, that must have been way in the ancient 60s. There have been presidents who've stopped by here. Bush came by for a few days, you know, a few years ago. Clinton spent actually more time, did an actual vacation here. But as a candidate, you know, everybody understands this is pretty much a Democratic state. So if you're a Democrat, you don't really need to show up because you're going to win. And if you're a Republican, the same kind of reasoning goes on. Why show up here when there are many more important things to do? It's a long plane trip, too, you know.
Well, as you point out, the Democrats won Hawaii in both 2000 and 2004, although President Bush did make up some grounds in the last election. I'm assuming that Barack Obama is a favorite not only because the Democrats have done so well, but because he has his roots there. Do you see John McCain as having any chance at all?
Of winning?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that. there isn't. I mean, I think he's a Republican, firstly. Second, you know, the Republican Party here is really very weak.
Well, you have a Republican governor, don't you?
Well, she's a moderate Republican. She was in the mainland, she would policy-wise be indistinguishable from most Democrats. The party, excuse me, has really a very low standing in the state. It's the super minority in the legislature. There's like 4 or 5 senators out of 26, 25, only 8 or 9 in the House. Out of 51. So they really are a very small voice. There's really no serious opposition or contesting for the 2 congressional seats. Senate race, no Republican really has had any grip on this since, oh, God, back in the 50s, before the state was even a state, Senator Hiram Thong. So the Republican Party here doesn't have a lot of traction, and most of the Republicans here are pretty moderate, actually.
But why has Hawaii become the most Democratic-leaning state? You suggest it goes all the way back to the 1950s.
It goes back a couple of 150 years. Hawaii, you know, was originally, we were talking about being 2,500 miles out in the middle of the Pacific from the mainland U.S., and it was a place that was settled by basically people from the small numbers from the United States. Large numbers of immigrants came here to work on the sugar plantations, and that was originally Chinese, and then later Japanese, later Filipinos, and a few other smaller numbers of groups in Portuguese and so forth. So it's been a real mixed society since, you know, forever. And right now, two-thirds of the babies that are born in the hospital are of basically mixed ethnic background, or mixed racial background, if you want to use that term. So it's a very diverse place. And when I first came out here in 1968, you know, this to be a minority as a white person is a very intriguing experience. So the experience of the plantations was something that propelled the Democratic Party after World War II. When they captured power, and I always sort of refer to it as the people of the plantation gained control. And so in the late 50s, early 60s, you had a very liberal, almost leftist orientation taking over the state. And this has continued. We're still the most liberal states. Our Congress people are always way up, certainly our two Congress people are ranked amongst the most liberal. Senator Inouye is a moderate liberal. Senator Akaka is a very strong liberal. So there's basically the Republican Party, which was the party of the missionaries and the plantation owners and the merchants, is pretty much rejected, and so is very difficult. So Governor Lingle is the first Republican governor in, I want to say, 40 years.
Now, it is ironic that Alaska, the other new state, is so solidly Republican, although it has been shaken a bit by some recent scandals, Ted Stevens. There have been scandals for the Democrats in Hawaii, haven't there?
Well, I think one of the reasons that Governor Lingle won is because of a long-standing rejection, apathy towards the kind of ruling class. And it's kind of, you know, the classic political story. People get into control, and then they take care of themselves and that kind of stuff. So she won, but because she had a lot of Democratic votes, because people were ashamed of the Democrats who had been in power for so long. And I sometimes call it the three C's: corruption, incompetence, and maybe missing the third one at the moment. But so it's been a fairly, you know, moderate liberal state with a lot of social equality going on. This was the first state to pass a pro-abortion bill.
My guest is Ira Rota, professor of politics at the University of Hawaii Manoa. He's talking to us about Hawaii on today's States of the Union. Well, last year, Hawaii has had the lowest percentage of children meeting the standards of No Child Left Behind. Is education a major issue in the state?
It is a major issue. We also have probably the largest number of students who are in private schools. And so those numbers are somewhat distorted because the public system is, I think I saw a figure, over 51% of the students have some kind of educational problem, deficiency, weakness. We have large numbers of students who are immigrants for language. English is their second language. There are issues of funding and so forth. And a lot of the best students get creamed off to go to the private schools. And so that statistic is a little bit misleading. There are very good private schools. For example, Obama. I mean, his mother sent him off to Punahou, which is one of the elite high schools in the islands. And there are other excellent schools as well. So that's one of the constant problems, and it's one of those things that every person running for office says, we're going to fix education. You know, here we are.
Well, how did that situation develop with private schools being so important in the state?
Understand, this is a rural society, a plantation society, and it was literally, there are several islands that constitute the islands. And so when you look at the, other than Oahu, Honolulu, the other islands were pretty much plantation societies. And basically, the schools, the public schools, were just needed in only order to educate people enough to work on a sugar plantation. And the best kids would be sent off to the private schools, which were on Oahu, and there are a few of them. So it was keeping taxes low. And again, the private schools, you had the Japanese, basically the plantation workers created their own language schools. So it was, Hawaii is a very different place. It's not at all like, you know, you're talking about, you know, I grew up in Illinois or Midwest or the West Coast. It was a very plantation kind of society. And so this society was run by the merchants until basically the war, end of World War II, when the returning veterans were able to go to college because of the GI Bill, Senator Inouye and all these other folks. And that's where you get this incredibly interesting soft revolution, where the Republican merchant plantation landowners are overthrown by this new working class, aspiring to send your kids off to college kinds of things occur. So it's a very, you know, it's like talking about a third world country. And it's so very different, and that's part of the history. People think Hawaii and Obama grew up here, and it's just kind of a come here and, you know, coochie coochie aloha dancing girls. It's a marvelously complex social history, and that's where Obama gets his, I think, a lot of his basic attitude about politics.
Well, the economy is a big issue all throughout the country, and I assume with Hawaii being so far removed geographically, it's an even bigger issue because food, most of the food is imported, and
correct,
fuel as well. And fuel, I don't know, what is a gallon of gasoline cost in Hawaii these days?
Well, depending where you are, in town it's around $4.40 a gallon for regular. If you go to the neighbor islands, add 20 to 30 cents to that. Your cost of living is also very high. We import 80% of our food, which is kind of shocking since we could obviously grow all of it. So it's a very precarious place, actually, because we're so dependent on tourism now.
Has tourism been hurt by the by rising airfares?
It is really wounded, and it is finally being acknowledged. I've been part of a group doing political futures and was arguing more than a year ago that we were going to be in deep trouble because of peak oil, oil costs going up. And that has, you know, hit the mainland, hit tourism. I see figures now under 10% at the moment, but they're looking at 30% drop.
What about tourists from Japan and China? Haven't they been mainstays?
They have been mainstays in the past. That number from Japan has been decreasing all the time. It's very expensive now to come to Hawaii. It's a surcharge, fuel charge. I want to say it's over $300-$400 a flight now.
Wow.
So the number of Japanese tourists has been decreasing, as well as the amount of money they spend. Chinese, very small number have come. They're trying to open up. It's very difficult because of the visas. Have the same problem with the Koreans, and so they just had a conference here amongst the tourist people, and they're finally acknowledging that they are facing not just a dip. They keep making that reference, well, it's another dip, kind of, you know, we're going to go down a little bit and then we'll come out of the other end. But beginning to see this is a long-term trend, which is what us analysts have been saying. And so the economy here is about to really go, I think, in the serious kind of recession. It hasn't shown up very much directly, but it is showing up. University budgets are being cut. All the state budget is being cut by 4 to 5%. So they're beginning to see there's a storm coming. And
Well, let's talk about something that you brought up. You could grow anything there, and yet you don't seem to have a very diversified agriculture. And if anything, things are in decline. Sugar production declined 67% in the 1990s at a time when sugar looks very promising for ethanol.
Well, actually, yes, that's true. Sugar is a good crop for ethanol, but it's sort of Hawaii becomes modern, and the tourism industry has oriented itself for the high spenders, and so they made a deliberate choice beginning in the late 1980s to attract a higher spending, particularly the Japanese, who used to spend three times as much per person as the average American did, or a small number coming from Canada, or even a tinier number from Europe. So they appealed to that high income group when the rates went up dramatically. And there have begun seeing criticisms now. I see people saying, we've priced ourselves out of the market because of the airfares, because the Japanese are going elsewhere. So there is, you can make a lot more money out of selling houses and shopping centers than you can in growing some kind of food crop. And food has been cheap, notice I use the past tense on that, because a number of us have been trying to say we need to become more food self-sufficient.
What's been the impact of VOG, something that Hawaiians recognize but outsiders do not really understand?
Well, the thing VOG is a reference to the Big Island and its volcanic eruptions, which create a kind of smoggy condition. And it's become recently significant because of a new eruption. This is the newest islands, the Big Island. So you're getting really active volcanoes. If you really want to see an active living volcano, come to the Big Island, Hawaii Island. It's been very recently a spouting off and causing some problems. These things come and go, but it's being acknowledged as a problem. But I think most people, I would say, go to the Big Island and see, if you want to see a living volcano, you want to see the planet being rebuilt right in front of your face, you can trot down there and see these kinds of things. It tends not to affect the other islands unless there's a kind of an exceptional wind, which we call Kona.
Senator Inouye was one of three Democrats who voted for drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
Right.
He and Ted Stevens have shared some major committee assignments.
Right.
Do you think that he voted that way because of their long-standing working relationship?
Absolutely. It's totally...
It has nothing to do with the fact that he just got married? Senator Inouye? That was a joke.
Well, he just got married recently.
Yes, he did. I know. I met his wife. She's very nice.
Yeah, she's a delightful lady, I gather. They've had a very symbiotic relationship, Senator Stevens and Senator Inouye. They've been there forever. I think Inouye is like the third ranking Democrat or something like that.
Will that be an issue during this campaign, drilling in, for oil as it has become in other parts of the country?
In which campaign?
In this presidential campaign.
Well, that gets us into the presidential campaign. I think, it's showing up. The country is sort of beginning to wake up to what a lot of us have been looking at, and I've been, for the last year and a half, have been talking about profound changes are coming down the line very soon, and oil is the first issue, and then global warming and climate change is coming down very quickly as well. That's going to be a big issue. There's two different levels of conversation going on. One is amongst the scientists and the people who are in the know, and lots of citizens are getting organized and understanding that we are going to, basically the price of oil is going to continue to escalate. And, we're looking at $200 a barrel at some point by the end of the year, at least. We're looking at one can anticipate $500 a barrel by the year 2012 or so. So people are seeing that, and you have to understand that drilling isn't the answer. At the political or obvious level, it's kind of slogans and cliches, and you can drill off of the coasts you know, that's
well, there's no oil off of Hawaii, so it's not really an issue. But Hawaii is home to several military bases, over 45,000 military personnel.
Right.
Has that generated some support for the war in Iraq, even though the state is so solidly Democratic and both Senator Akaka and Inouye voted against the Iraq war resolution?
I think that there is support for McCain amongst the retired military people who are living here, and that's a substantial number. And so you look at his campaign here. There's a gentleman who was similar to McCain, a prisoner during the Vietnam War. So I think amongst that crowd, but I must say that I have met a lot of people in the officer class who have a much more nuanced view of our involvement in the Iraq. And even amongst the enlisted people, it's hard to figure out. So I don't think McCain is going to get a lot of support here. I mean, it's there, but even the military, as far as I can tell, is pretty split.
Well, we have absolutely no time left, and I was curious about the fact that Inouye and Akaka are both in their 80s, which would suggest that there'll be a generational shift in
yes.
Hawaiian politics sometime very soon.
Everybody is politicking like crazy for the year 2010. We'll elect a new governor. Senator Inouye is up. He will probably run forever. Senator Akaka is the same kind of age. He will be up in 2 years later. There is no transition strategy in mind. It's one of those things we continue to deny things, but a lot of the politics here is musical chairs and people positioning themselves for the 2010 election.
Thank you so much for talking with us. Ira Roeder, professor of politics at the University of Hawaii, Manoa.